going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
WEEI Afternoons live from Green Bay, the day before the NFL draft at Lambeau Field. We made it in. Not going to lie, there was a couple times, Teddy, that I was a little dubious that we were going to park, get credentials, find where we were supposed to be. But
in odds and ends, I got an Andy Hart observation about, I don't want to say neurosis.
Uh-oh.
It's not neurosis, but a planner. You
okay.
Are at heart.
Okay,
no pun intended.
We'll get to that.
A super planner.
We'll get
is what
to
I
that.
Call it.
I didn't know I was supposed to be taking notes on my co-traveler here. I just observe.
I'm an observer.
Okay.
Of
we'll get
behaviors.
To that. We'll get to that in odds and ends. But right now it's 3:00. We're all here. Well, we're here in different places, and it's time for the 3-point stance.
Green 19.
Ready.
Here we go.
Ready.
Yeah. There you go.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to 3.
Tatum puts up a 3. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pastrnak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Teddy, don't ever let someone tell you you couldn't have been a quarterback. I was liking your cadences you were dropping there, man.
Oh, thanks, Daniel. I appreciate that. Here we go!
That's right. And here we go to our 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Today's 3-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman, no matter where in the country you are, Green Bay, Brighton, wherever else. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3:00, we have 3 hosts, each of which will present their stance on some of the biggest stories floating around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day. And after each host is gone, we'll open up for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy Hart, I ask you, my friend, are you ready?
Even though I woke up at 4:30, weird time change in a hotel bed, I am ready.
Okay, well, in the spirit of the draft, you are now on the clock, and your 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, so Dan, you sell this as some of the biggest stories in Boston sports. It's the day before the draft. Left tackle is the biggest story in Boston sports. It's Will Campbell, it's his arm length, yep. All that. So, I am going to take that in a different direction, though. I'm going to bring up a name that is going to surprise you. I don't think anyone said I'm going to do my 3-point stance on Rashawn Slater, left tackle, Los Angeles Chargers.
Who?
Why am I bringing him up? So there's two reasons. So let's just say the Patriots don't want to draft Will Campbell because they're afraid of his arms like Teddy. Rashawn Slater is heading into the season in which he will play out his 5th-year option for $19 million. There are some questions as to whether the Chargers can or will re-sign him to an estimated $120 million contract.
Not if he's got short arms, I would.
2-time Pro Bowl left tackle Rashawn Slater in 4 years. So those short arms are the second reason I'm talking about this. Patriots fans, if they draft Will Campbell tomorrow night, you should dream that he is Rashawn Slater. 33-inch arms at his pro day,
made Pro
just
Bowl.
Like... Will Campbell, 33-inch arms at his pro day. 33-inch arms can succeed for elite quarterbacks named Justin Herbert or Drake May. So Rashawn Slater, he is the template of what Will Campbell can be. And if you don't like Will Campbell, then maybe you go sign Rashawn Slater because he wants a boatload of money and you have it. So either way, Rashawn Slater ties it all together for the tackle position of your New England Patriots.
Go get the guy that's got half-inch longer arms than Will Campbell.
I'm surrounded by negativity today. There's too much negativity with you people. I'm excited, and I'm not going to let you guys ruin it.
Okay, well, that's fine. And when he kicks inside to guard because he's Joe Tooney 2.0 in a season or two, Andy, I'm not going to yell, "I told you so." I'm just going to sit there smiling.
Fitzy, shush. You got me. You're doing my three-point stance for me. Quiet.
All right, please. Sorry, Ted. I've got numbers to back this feeling up, Ted. I did research. I have feelings. Right.
Okay, everybody hang on to your tongues for just a moment while we get through the rest of our three-point stances, if we can make it. And I ask you, Fitzy, are you ready, my friend?
Yes, I was born ready.
All right, well, you were born with 60 seconds on the clock that starts right now.
All right, well, unfortunately, tomorrow night sort of feels like seeing two people hanging out at a bar that you know are going to get married, and everybody says, yeah, they're just going to get married. They've always been together. It's fine. No big deal. But the wedding itself can be pretty exciting. So Patriots, Will Campbell, it's inevitable at this point. That's fine. I'm looking forward to it as much as I can, though it's not the sexy pick that I wish it would be of a trade back with multiple picks, the guys that we were cheated out of thanks to Mayo and Milton, Ashton Jeanty or more. However, Patriots fans, if you're not necessarily bummed out, but if you're a little nonplussed by the Will Campbell selection, take heart, because guess what? Though so much hype, fanfare, hoopla, and more goes into night one of the 2025 NFL draft in all drafts, it's a three-day affair. Day two, the New England Patriots have three picks, a second rounder, 38th overall, two third rounders, including Elliot Wolf's best move as de facto GM last year when he traded Matthew Judon for a third round pick, and then, of course, a bunch of picks day three as well. Those selections might allow your New England Patriots to actually trade back into the first round tomorrow night to make something exciting happen or give you a slam banger of a day two. So, Pats fans, it's not just all about Will Campbell. Pay attention. More electricity could be coming later on tomorrow night.
So, Fitz,
Ted, can you tell I'm trying to talk myself into this because I find it so boring?
Yep. I don't. Dan, I'll shut up. But I got thoughts on. I got thoughts on that.
I love the policing that's going on.
Yeah,
here.
I got to just overstepping. Sorry, buddy.
And a perfectly timed reminder to tune in as Fitzy will be part of the Christian Arkand all night draft coverage coming up on Thursday. Oh, yeah. So the draft may be boring, but the show on Thursday will not. And we will take you from Red Sox coverage 4 to 8 going into that show tomorrow. Okay, Ted. Yep. You told yourself to shut up, and I am asking you: are you ready to talk again?
I'm ready, brother.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds starts right now.
All right, so there's a theme, obviously, in this three-point stance. Like Fitzy, and most people, I'd say, most people have Will Campbell going to the Patriots at number four. And I just want to remind people, and it's just so technically, he does have shorter arms than the guy that you're just mentioning, so I can say this with confidence. Just to remind people that a left tackle in the NFL in the last 25 years has never, ever made an All-Pro team or a Pro Bowl team with the arm size of Will Campbell, or short arms as Will Campbell. Just to remind people, okay, what I found interesting is that the Patriots, some would say they're all pros, maybe borderline Hall of Fame guards, that being Logan Mankins and Joe Tooney, were both left tackles coming out of college and then moved to guard once they got to the NFL. The Patriots draft Will Campbell, but what they're doing is buying time by getting him. By getting Will Campbell, they're buying time. He can be a serviceable left tackle for this year, but he will eventually be moved to guard. The hope is that the Pats get the fourth overall pick that they did 52 years ago when they selected fourth overall John Hanna in 1973, who ended up being an all-world guard, maybe the best in his position. You can't go wrong with Will Campbell at four, but make no mistake, he is going to be a guard, folks.
My work here is done. Ted just compared Will Campbell to John Hanna. I think I'm done here.
At guard.
Yeah.
At guard.
Oh,
buddy.
Goody. Well, man, I can't wait for Drake May to run like Steve Grogan behind John Hanna as they lose 47-10 to the Oilers.
There, Andy, you did, or you did ask the question, or Ted asked the question. So is Will Campbell, John Hanna, and Andy, without even thinking or researching, went, yes, and now a week
exactly.
later,
and now he agrees with me.
Yeah,
now he agrees.
I said that's the hope. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying the hope is that he turns out to be like John Hanna from 52 years ago.
No, when the hope is he's Rashawn Slater. He might end up. The floor could be John Hanna. I just made his career the floor of the greatest guard ever.
Does anybody know who John Slater is? Have anybody even heard
Rashawn
of
Rashawn Slater?
I don't think Teddy knows who Rashawn Slater is.
He's a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle for Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we got to go get this guy.
The reason why Alt plays the right.
Yeah, and that's also a reason why he could be available, because they may just say, I'm not paying that guy. I'm just going to move Joe Alt from right tackle to left tackle. So come get Rashawn Slater.
Rashawn Slater.
So he's a possibility. I'm just saying. You're the one who preaches to me. Sorry, Dan. I don't know why we overstepped our boundaries. But
this isn't new.
Can't help yourself.
You're the one who told me tackles become available. You can find a tackle.
Yeah.
I just found you a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle from a high-powered passing offense out in L.A.
With the team that doesn't want to re-sign him, so they want to trade him to the Patriots. Why?
Because they don't want to spend the money because they're cheap. That family is cheap. The Spanos family
they're
is
not.
Cheap.
They just spent $510 million on Justin Herbert. He got $55 million a year. They pay.
He's a quarterback. You got to pay quarterbacks. Even the cheap teams have to pay quarterbacks.
Daniel, take charge here.
Yeah, Daniel, do something.
Okay, Andy apologizes for jumping on me, then blows past me for 5 minutes, then tells me to take over. I didn't know you guys had to. I didn't know you guys had to fly to Green Bay to do it the same you do every day. All right, Nick Fitzy Stevens, I wanna hand this over to you for a moment, because you mentioned during the course of the presentation of the 3-point stances that you had some research on arm sizes, and I'm just curious your general feeling on the ongoing conversation, the borderline maddening conversation about offensive linemen, arm sizes, and just the feeling you're getting from Patriots fans with the reality that Will Campbell's probably the guy.
Oh, it's two-thirds meh to one-third. Okay. I don't think anyone is legitimately excited at this point. I haven't heard from anybody that said, yeah, the future begins now. There are some that have said, well, you've been begging for someone to protect Drake May's blind side so he doesn't get myrtleized or they can run the ball more effectively. That to the left side of the formation, and now you're going to get someone, and so they're trying to address the need that has crippled this team for 7 years now since Trent Brown, 6.5 years or so since Trent Brown 2018. So I appreciate all of that. Again, I just don't like the fact that they're drafting Zach Martin. I don't like the fact that they're drafting Joe Tooney. I don't like the fact that they're drafting Peter Skoronski as well, something Mike Vrabel talked about a long time ago. And to that point, as we talk about the measurables, Ted, you had that great stat about no tackle with arms smaller than Will Campbell's has made the Pro Bowl in the last 25 years. Some might say, like, oh, good, that'll be something else. A new hurdle for Sling Blade to clear on the New England Patriots. I'll just say this. About 77 is way under the number. Oh, it's not just about the arm length. That's the wingspan. 80 is a low wingspan. Peter Skoronski was a 79. He kicked inside to guard day one on the Titans. So I'm with you, Ted. Make absolutely no mistake. They are not drafting the left tackle of the future. They are drafting a tough-minded, charismatic, well-dressed, interesting, Bayou-based, temporary stopgap left tackle who eventually is going to play guard. Where at? I don't know. But you'll have to excuse me if, while they do want to build the trenches, that isn't dynamic or exciting for day one, pick one of the Mike Vrabel era.
So let me share a little information, because you guys know I'm never afraid to share information, even if it goes against my feelings and points. Something I shared with you last night, Ted, something I didn't know. Someone reached out to me and let me know that, and I haven't checked this, I'm just running with a source I trust. When he moves into guard, if you guys are right, he'll still be in the bottom 10% of guard arm length. Yeah. He has short arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just has short arms.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. Here's the flip side of that. I can't wait, because I've heard for years, you know, Drew Brees was too short to play quarterback, and Aaron Donald was too undersized to play interior defensive tackle in the NFL, and all these guys. I can't freaking wait until Will Campbell is the guy that changes the archaic way of thinking of people like Ted Johnson and others, and you finally say, you know what? Is it ideal? Would I rather his arms be a little bit bigger? Sure. But you know what? Good things come in different size packages, and his arms are short, and he talks about it, he's acknowledged it, and he's ready to prove y'all wrong.
I'm starting to understand this this Will Campbell love fest you got.
He's my guy.
There's some a lot of
if he can do it,
historic,
I can do it.
Something in there, your sure. past, I think, is coming out. Just I don't know, maybe some personal stuff is coming out. But Stiz, if you wouldn't mind, it was interesting. Will Campbell. Even today, it was still talking about his arm size. He did a little interview, a quick interview outside of Lambeau Stadium earlier today. This is what he had to say in reference to his short arms this morning.
Everybody's had a concern with my arm length since I was 14 years old and I got my first offer. I didn't let it become a problem now, or then. I'm not going to now.
There you go. So basically, Will Campbell say, look, man, it was an issue for me in high school. That's kind of weird. In high school, it's like, can you play football or not? No one's usually doing arm measurements in high school, but there's Will Campbell telling you that it was something that people talked about even when he was in high school. Like that's weird, but that's what he said. So I do like Andy Fitzy. The fact, I'm not going to lie, that he continually pushes back on
yes.
this and is like steadfast in his, you don't want to believe in me. Do it at your own peril. Watch what happens. Hold my beer kind of thing.
And you know who was probably one of those telling him he had short arms? His future offensive line coach, Doug Marrone, talked about when he was at Alabama, he recruited Will Campbell, among others in this class. He recruited basically the entirety of this class. And he also acknowledged that when he watched him play at LSU, those short arms at that level, he put that in there, that caveat, at that level were never an issue for Will Campbell. So
Can I just tell people real quick why it really isn't been an issue for Will Campbell is because in all the other metrics and measurables, he's off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so when it comes to toughness, attitude, quickness, first step, athleticism, speed, you know, power, he's like in the top percentile mm-hmm. of that. So it's all of those. If he didn't rate as high as those other categories, you know, then this would be a really big issue, right? And a bigger issue than it is, Fitzy.
Mm-hmm. Again, like, look, he's probably going to be let's actually reverse engineer it for a moment, okay? Is he going to be better than Vidarian Lowe? Yes. Is he going to be better than DeMontre Jacobs? Yes. Is he going to be better than Chukwuma Okorafor and everybody else under the sun that has played left tackle the last several years? Yes, it'll put an end to the long-standing Marshall Newhouse nightmare of 2019 and Isaiah Wynn, et cetera, and others. Ted, how many players do you think, what is the average of players that defy the Daniel Jeremiahs and all the scouts and analysts who say, like, this guy is tabbed to be this? I wish we could figure out what percentage of guys end up being something different than what all of the people that do this for a living say. You know what I mean? When people say, like, not fast enough to be a free safety, like, how many of those guys turn out to be Pro Bowl or All-World or Hall of Fame safeties? How many guys say, doesn't have fluid enough hips to play tackle at the NFL level, or this guy doesn't have home run speed to be a starting NFL back or win at the X position on the outside? That's my concern.
I think usually those guys are right, if I'm being honest. I think usually when they stick to the parameters, the measurables, they say, that guy was a good college player, but he's too X, too short, too slow, too this, too that.
And they never even make it to the upper
right.
levels.
But usually when they make it, okay, I'm going to spin this again. When they do make it, they make it at an elite level. They prove everybody wrong at a high level. I don't think it's often where it's, you know, the guy was elite in college, but this one thing was the reason most teams didn't want to go to him. I think that guy usually makes it. I don't know. I'm just, maybe it's just because I'm rooting for Will Campbell because mm-hmm. I do like the way you mentioned it, like that he keeps kind of taking it head on, just approaching this, not trying to ignore it, not trying to play any games really, just being like, yeah, people have been telling me that my whole life and I've been kicking people's asses on a football field in the SEC, in high school. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like the way he has approached this, and I don't know if it's his – I do think it's his natural style. The other thing, so the two names we've compared him to, Logan Mankins – and Joe Tooney, both signed contracts worth, at the time, I know at least top five guard money, maybe highest paid guard in the NFL type money.
Yep.
Right? Like Joe Tooney got $80-something million to go to the Chiefs 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of me that says, would it have been the worst thing if Joe Tooney were drafted in the first round? Would it have been the worst thing if Logan Mankins had gone higher in the first round? Mm-hmm. No, because it gets back to that theory I always have. It's about the player. If the player is really good, you rarely regret how much you paid him
That's
or
true.
Where you drafted him, right? Yeah. So if, God forbid, Will Campbell becomes some combination of Logan Mankins and Joe Tooney, you know what I'll say? You got a
great
damn
job.
Good offensive lineman. Yeah. I don't think you'll regret it.
Jeez, but you already, I mean, okay, you've got Mike Onwenu, who, when he's healthy and plays well and has talent around him, is a plus-level guard already, Andy. They took Laden Robinson last year, so I guess they must be out on Laden Robinson already, though he looked good the final quarter of the season.
No, they're not out on him, but they're not out on him.
Well, what are they going to do, Ted? Do you think use him for another year and then kick him over to right if they
cut on him? Campbell's going to play tackle here.
It feels like, Fitzy, that Laden is going to get at least – an opportunity to show what he can do compared to maybe some of the other players that were drafted by Elliott Wolf.
But make no mistake, where he ends up, I don't know. Where he starts is left tackle here for late.
And I agree. And so that's why I said in my 3 points, he buys time.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he turns out to be, a serviceable left tackle, right? Kind of like what – Joe Tooney turned out to be when he had to be moved from left guard to left tackle for the Chiefs this year, and then the Super Bowl. Okay, now we know why he plays guard, but
he got smoked.
So it buys you time. Maybe he's a left tackle this year, and maybe he's the 25th best left tackle in the NFL. That's way better than what you had before.
75 spots ahead of Verdarian
Lowe. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a solid pick. You really, I think it's going to be okay at the end of the day. And it might not be the answer to left tackle, but it's going to be the answer for this year at least. And I think everybody's going to be happy when it's all said and done with what we provided. But ultimately, I just think you're getting a left guard ultimately. And if he turns out to be like some of the players we've described that have gone from being dominant left tackles in college to being all pro left guards, to Andy's point, no one's going to care when it's all said and done.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Ted. If you need new windows on the house, but you come back with a new front door, yeah, okay, that's great. You have fortified the front door of the house, but you needed windows. Why didn't you go buy windows? Why didn't you get the best window available and not a front door?
No. You know what you did? You went out and you got better windows. They're not the best, but they're better. And you know what? Until you had enough money to buy better windows next year, then you upgrade your windows the following year. But at least you got better windows than you had before.
The snow is no longer coming into your house. You're not trying to sleep with rain.
The whistling is not keeping you up at night through the old crappy windows.
You're not going to be endlessly large.
Your franchise player is not getting knee evaluations every other week because he's getting hit.
And one last defense of Will Campbell. I don't know when I became like the leader of the Will Campbell.
When you started talking about him 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do know, Fitz. It was about 6 months ago. But if let's just say the Bills, this rumor that the Bills have 12 first-round grades on players, that's all they have, only 12 guys.
I want to know who the other like nine are, Andy.
Well, and that's a good question. We could probably play that game a little bit later. But if you take – yeah, the math was wrong there,
wrong
Ted. Ted just made
Fitz
a face.
He's the smartest guy ever. I'm like, you and I know that's not the right math.
But if you believe there's only 12 first-round picks, okay, so Will Campbell's one of those, right? So it's not like you're passing up on – he's one of 12. There's only 12 of them. You took one of them. Okay. You can't
– how do you know he's one of that 12? They could have no offensive lineman that grayed out as a first-rounder.
Dan, I'm assuming the same thing.
Everybody's wrong. Universally, Will Campbell has been considered the best offensive lineman and a top eight.
Best
in a weak class at that position.
Hot take alert coming in 3, 2, 1. Josh Simmons ends up the better left tackle in the NFL. I said it. I heard it. I'll own it. Thank you.
Josh Simmons will be out of the league in 4 years. I think there's too many red flags with that guy. I'm just telling you. Plus, I had to react to defend Will Campbell, so I had to come out.
you
know what I do. You back me into a corner, I come out swinging.
Toe the company line.
617-779-7937. We see your draft phone calls lining up. Getting a lot of calls from Texas today. Maybe these are Ted's people
from
down
the
there. The Rip Tickler calling in.
Call up, Texans.
We'll take your phone calls up next about Will Campbell, his arm length, the draft, what you want the Patriots to do, and everything else about this 2025 NFL draft. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
ESPN's Bobby, Mike Reese.
Mike, stating the obvious.
Okay.
Jeez.
ESPN's Mike Reese talking about the possibility of Will Campbell, LSU left tackle, being the chosen one for Mike Vrabel in the 2025 NFL Draft.
Possibility is hilarious. Come on now, Andy.
WEEI Afternoons back here in Green Bay. Our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grill Mate Seasoning. So, you know, I feel like we've been talking about Will Campbell forever, and I feel like we've accepted it. I do want to let listeners know, about an hour from now, we are going to go through some mock scenarios.
We'll mock you out.
Yes, Ted Johnson, a big fan of mocks. It's interesting that he came up with this mock scenario segment.
I didn't call it a mock.
He's got moxie.
He does have a little moxie, and we're going to go through a variety of possibilities that could unfold for
the
Patriots.
Scenarios for the Patriots. Scenarios. Most likely scenarios.
Tomorrow night, and what we think they would do, what we want them to do, how it'll play out.
Just get all of our stuff, all of our, everything we've been talking about on record for the record, right?
Yes.
We all got to pick it. A player.
And I like the way you put that because we're going to go to the phone lines now, 617-779-7937. And Mike in the car sounds like he would like to get Ted Johnson on the record about Will Campbell. So, Mike, what are your thoughts on Ted's thoughts on Will Campbell?
What's up, gentlemen? Did I just hear somebody in the background say, Mama said mock you out? Because if I did, that's fantastic. Anyways, and also, I hope you guys had a good, comfortable trip. I know that EEI doesn't always love to spend money, so I'm picturing Ted and Andy crammed into the front seat of a Prius driving from the airport to the hotel.
Hey, listen to odds and ends. You'll be surprised what we're driving.
Although
it's spacious.
Ted does take up a lot of room on a flight.
Yep. I traveled safe. Thank you, John.
But Ted, all joking aside, and I don't know if I'm confused, misremembering, or what the case may be. I think it was pretty early on in your tenure in the show here, you were talking about Will Campbell, and you gave all like his measurements and metrics, and if I recall correctly at that time, you basically were saying something along the lines of tackle or lineman with these metrics has ever made the Pro Bowl or been all pro, and
That's correct.
Be a little off there, but okay.
In the last 25 years, yep.
Was I confused then in that you were saying that as a reason not to draft Campbell, or did I just completely miss your point?
No. Definitely, you're on point. What I was saying is, if you are forced into this pick, you have to go with him. But I would say he is not, to me, worthy of that pick based on his measurables. Does that sound fair? Like his measurables, in my opinion, don't grade out to be a fourth overall pick. Okay.
So
this is a unique draft. There's no other. What is their biggest need? It's left tackle. That's what he played in college. And can he play left tackle at a level that's serviceable for time being until you maybe get another guy that you think he could be better at left tackle, and then you kick him down to a guard where I could see him dominating for his career, then that's what I would want them to do. I'm just saying he's not worthy of that fourth overall pick, but this is a unique draft where the need is so great and the rest of the talent is so down from previous drafts that they are basically forced into making this pick. Any other draft, I would say he's not worth it. But in this draft, I would say, you know what, if that's who you have a chance to pick at four, then I would understand why they would pick him.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Hopefully that explains it.
I think it did, but I appreciate that he was at least trying to catch you being inconsistent and flipping and flopping
never, not once.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about Will Campbell's measurables. the very simple measurements of his arms, his wingspan, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of reports, Fitzy, over the last 24 hours or so, whether they were independent reports or whether they're part of mock drafts. I want to read a couple of them to you guys and see if maybe this is what's swaying the value of Will Campbell. So Todd McShay has number four Patriots take Will Campbell. And in there it said, new coach Mike Vrabel fell in love with Campbell after meeting him multiple times during the draft process. Campbell's recall and football intelligence sold Vrabel on making him the leader of the Pats O-line room. Okay, so that's interesting.
Very interesting.
I like that. That's cool. That's very cool.
Jeremy Fowler says in his little blurb, several industry sources believe the Patriots have an affection for LSU left tackle Will Campbell. And he says Campbell would provide New England the chance to reestablish its identity across the offensive line for quarterback Drake May. Mm-hmm. Those two words, leadership and identity, and I'll throw in a word that they didn't use, but culture has been a big word this offseason. So we've beaten the dead horse that is his arm length, right? We've beaten that dead horse. But as we look at the total package of a player, if Vrabel goes, huh, that's my O-line leader right there. Not sure which position maybe because of those arm length, but that's my leader. That's the guy that settled an identity. Because I would argue, Fitzy, you brought up Mike Onwenu.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mike Onwenu the leader of the offensive line?
No, the leader of the offensive line was cut by the New England Patriots, has lost 40 pounds, and is probably not playing football again.
Right.
There you go.
Is Mike Onwenu the identity of the Patriots' offensive line?
Well, if you want to connect to last year's offensive line when he rode a bike through the locker room because Gerard Mayo lost control of the team in a silo-free capacity, sure. Right now, no.
So your $55 million best offensive lineman that you have isn't any of those things that we are potentially bestowing upon Will Campbell, not necessarily the leader, not necessarily the identity. And I would say if we want to keep bringing up that name, certainly a guy like John Hanna set the identity of those offensive lines back then. But Logan Mankins was absolutely the guy setting the identity, punching guys in the nuts when they needed to in fights in Denver, things of that nature. So we've weighed the value of the arm length or lack of arm length. What is the value of Will Campbell's leadership, identity, setting a tone in front of Drake May, and what can that be moving forward?
Fitzy, I kind of compare it to what is the value of a third baseman that's you're paying $40 million when he's only worth $28 million maybe a year.
What's he worth to you? Correct, Ted.
Yeah, boom. Right. So
I am convincing Ted.
There's. Look, I'm okay with them picking Will Campbell. I try to put it in context where it's not the ideal selection at four. But look, as far you need, it's the most important unit on a football team. I will say this until I am 6 feet in the ground. Offensive line sets the tone, in my opinion, for the entire football team. You have a tough offensive line, you usually have a tough team. You have guys with grit and just have an a-hole attitude about them. It permeates usually throughout the entire team. And so of all position groups, Fitzy, it's the most who have – if you want guys that just, have that grit, that attitude, that toughness, that we're going to come kick your ass kind of mentality that it sounds like Will Campbell has, it's – got to be on the offensive line. And so there's huge value in that. And so I'm okay with them building, especially this team, from the inside out, particularly the offensive line, because if you look at the team that just won the Super Bowl, that is the straw that stirs the drink for the Philadelphia Eagles is their offensive line.
Yep.
And I think that's the best way to build a team. And Will Campbell, my guess is Vrabel fell in love with him because of his attitude and his, you know what, I'll screw you guys. I'll prove all the doubters. That goes a long way with coaches in this league. Just having a player that they feel like they can coach that already inherently comes with that type of attitude, Fitzy.
Yeah, and your offensive line leader now by default is probably Morgan Moses, just because he seems like the kind of guy that is willing to lead, wants to lead, and will inspire people. And to everyone, again, I'll make this point again, to everyone who wants to say, well, worst run blocking line last year, worst pass blocking line last year, of course they need to make changes everywhere, so swing big, swing nasty, that seems to be Will Campbell. I agree, but you can't judge this year's iteration of the New England Patriots offensive line against last year's, because 80% of it is going to be brand new, basically. They're revamping this line, Ted. So It's not fair to judge them against last year's inadequacies and failures. And look, if Will Campbell becomes a 12-year, long-established, much-beloved, jersey-selling, Red Jacket, Patriots Hall of Fame type of guy, Andy, I'll retake this. I'll walk it back. I'll own what I said today, yesterday, and the days leading up to the draft. It's just, I guess when we're looking for splash and spark right now, there's not a lot of that. But also, that's what wins football games. So here we go.
The minute that David Andrews was released by the Patriots, the value of Will Campbell to the Patriots went sky high.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say, this is going to sound like a backhanded compliment, the greatest thing you've said on this radio show since we've been together is comparing Will Campbell to St. Bregman, because I think it's an apt comparison. Bregman is not worth $40 million a year on paper. You go, wait, he bats two what? He gets off to slow starts?
It's 302 right now.
No, I know. But okay. Usually, looking at it in the past before he signed the deal, he's only going to hit maybe 25 home runs. Like, his best year came 7 years ago when
he was
cheating.
He's only a gold glove at third base.
Like, that's not $40 million. He got a gold glover in right field who's making $600K. So he's not worth it on paper, but he's worth it on the field to the Red Sox, to Alex Cora, to Craig Breslow. And you could argue, if just on paper, is Will Campbell worth the fourth pick in the draft or any draft? No. But to this team, in this draft, in the here and now, can Will Campbell be worth that? That was one of the greatest comments
Thanks,
you've said.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment.
617-779-7937. We'll go back to the phone lines to hear from you about the 2025 NFL Draft. We are on the ground here at Lambeau Field.
Starting to get busy.
In Green Bay. Yeah, there's a little buzz starting to pick up. We're starting to have a little more activity around us here in the Radio Row area. We'll get to your phone calls next here on WEEI Afternoons, and we'll also look at the possibility. Could the Patriots still make a trade? Is a trade potentially on the horizon tomorrow night in the first round? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian Baldinger.
Dropping bombs.
NFL Network. I don't know if he knows what a premonition is, because it doesn't sound like that was a premonition. It sounds like somebody told him the trade is coming.
Come on, give him a break.
That's a scoop.
That's a scoop. That's actually a report.
That's a good point.
He just dreamed it. He dreamed it last night, guys. Come on.
He had a vision. Yeah, exactly.
In the top five, that doesn't...
And then that vision was substantiated by a report.
Yes, exactly. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the Patriots. It could be, you know, one of these teams trading up for a quarterback, trading out from the quarterback selection, the whole thing.
He did say the top five. He didn't say the top four. He didn't say the top six.
Nope, and he didn't mention the Patriots. But I've heard a lot of people, I know Mike Giardi.
Boy, wouldn't that be something.
That trades are still in the works, and that Mike Vrabel, I think it's become accepted, two things, that he wants Will Campbell, and he would like to trade down and draft Will Campbell lower in the first 10 picks of the draft.
Right.
Feels like he wants...
That would be amazing, guys. Okay with.
Right. But now, can he do it? Because we've heard for so long now, nobody wants to trade up in this draft. There's two blue chippers. They're going to be gone. And maybe it's for those guys. Maybe that's the trade. It's ahead of the Patriots to get your guy Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, who universally have been accepted as the two blue chippers in this draft. But I guess it's a dumb question, because if you can trade down and get – we've all accepted Will Campbell could help this team. And if you can trade down and get additional selections and get Will Campbell at 6, 8, 10, you know, that's a win-win. And I can understand why Vrabel would want to do that, but I don't know how likely it seems. I also don't like risking it. That's the other thing. If Will Campbell's really your guy that Vrabel's married to – if you want to marry that guy, then put an effing ring at it at four. Don't risk getting another pick and losing out on that guy.
Fitzy,
I don't like that.
Fitzy, you got thoughts?
I do indeed. So yesterday, got some information from one of our regular listeners, the Dice Man, the mailman on Cape Cod, who had placed a long-time bet on Ashton Jeanty going fifth overall to the Jaguars. He just a little spec bet on his DK. Or FanDuel, and he got it at plus 4,500. When he checked the odds yesterday, guys, they were at plus 150. So Ted, that's a 3,000% change on those gambling odds, which tells you that somebody's got some intel that the Jaguars are considering taking Ashton Jeanty. So a best case scenario for your New England Patriots is that the Raiders, who Jeanty has been mocked to several times, they get so hell bent on getting him, they call up and they say, what's it going to take for us to switch from 6 to 4 to guarantee we get Jeanty?
And if that happens, you pick up extra draft capital and you still get the tone setter and room alterer that Mike Vrabel wants Will Campbell to be. Now we're starting to get into a much more optimal scenario for tomorrow night, Ted, because what that does is gives you more ammo to get back into the later part of the first round and get some offensive or defensive talent.
Well, after we have Scal on next, we're gonna do different draft scenarios, Fitzy, so we can kind of play some of those scenarios out. That's interesting. I mean, there's a team that's – I mean, there's been eight running backs in the last 15 years that have been drafted in the top 10 in the NFL draft. And none of them have really had great careers other than Saquon Barkley, and it just happened that he was on the Super Bowl winning team this year. So I don't know. That's an interesting scenario for sure. If that's I could maybe see that. I just, man, you're trading up for a running back. Oh my, giving away draft capital. I just if that's the Raiders, I just, man, that's to me, that's not the best look, in my opinion.
But is that beast mode for Pete Carroll in Vegas though? Because Genty is everything. Yeah. I believe he's going to be everything everyone says and then some.
Maybe. Or is it Ricky Williams for Mike Ditka in New Orleans? And
I mean, there's a million that go the other way.
That
right?
didn't end well. Also, food for thought. I'll throw this out there, and we'll revisit it a little bit later. But Jordan Schultz reports that the Patriots are open to trading players from previous coaching staff.
Very weird.
And a name to watch on that list is wide receiver Kayshon Booty. I don't love that idea. I think you have a lot of receivers, but he's actually the one I've enjoyed watching making few plays in recent years. I don't see why we need to move on from him just because he's somebody else's player.
It feels like I'm with you on that. That is weird. Like, but it's almost like if Vrabel didn't bring him in, then he's not long for this team. That I don't like that message in that sense to the guys that aren't very, weren't here because of Vrabel, which there's a lot of still. And I also like kind of the way Kayshon kind of turned his short little 2-year career around.
Yep.
And for a 6th-round draft pick last year on a team that had no offensive line and no wide receivers to still have the production he had, I thought said something about the kid. That to me he's worth kind of keeping around at least another year.
So we'll get to that idea of a potential Kayshon Booty trade. There were rumblings of a Kendrick Bourne trade, some of those things. Yeah. We'll get to that and more NFL draft coverage live from Green Bay here on WEEI Afternoons. But on the way in the next hour, we got Brian Scalabrine at the top of the hour to help us break down the Celtics game two matchup with the Magic. It was a fun first game. I think Ted and I will probably be watching it at a bar, enjoying a couple adult beverages tonight.
Curds.
Absolutely. Curds and beers. And Brian Scalabrine up next here on WEEI Afternoons.